This week, we're going to learn a little bit about the Korban Todah, which I thought was a great springboard to discuss Hakaras HaTov and appreciation in all levels of one life. And we'll get a little bit into this. The world-famous Nitziv. Why is it world-famous? Because everybody always shares this, as Suda So does, including myself. So if you don't know this Nitziv, you learn the Nitziv. If not, we'll use it as a springboard. The Korban Todah, which is not mentioned with all the other Korbanos in Parashas Vayikra, almost like it's a standalone, is really a version of the Korban Shlomim, with two very critical differences between the Korban Todah and the Korban Shlomim. First of all, the Korban Todah, you have to bring 40 loaves of bread along with it, okay? 30 which are matzah and 10 which are chametz. I'm actually learning menachos with my son now. That's Aleph. And days, the Shlomim, you have day, night, day to eat the entire shlamim. When it comes to the Korban Todah, you only have the day and the night, and it has to be eaten by a very shortened amount of time. That the time for the Todah is much less than the shlamim. So Vinitziv discusses this idea. It gives over a world-famous idea, which I think is a very beautiful idea, and it's something that people should share. As a matter of fact, there's a boy who came to me and says, Rebbe, my sister's bat mitzvah is on Sunday. I need a vart to say it, but here you can say the mitzvah. Yeah, so take, you know, but it's the reason why it's famous is because it's such a beautiful idea and such a fundamental idea and such a critical idea to all of Yahadus. Then it explains that the reason why there's a shortened time and there's so much to eat is because now when you bring the korban, you can't possibly do it all by yourself. You're now forced to invite many people when you bring this korban todah. And what's going to happen when all of these people come to the Seudas Hoda'a? They're going to come and they ask you, what happened? What were you saved from? Did you go across the Midbar? Did you get out of jail? Hopefully not. Did you, you know, the old days it wasn't getting out of jail for income tax evasion. The old days it was getting out of jail because people used to, you know, ransack and take Jews for no reason. But that's what we're talking about. You know, did any of those things happen to you? What happened? What miracle happened that you were saved from? And that would force the person to verbally express his Hakaras HaTov, his gratitude towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu for all the wonders that he did, and that it will force people to listen to the Hakaras HaTov and engender in this conversation of Hakaras HaTov for Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that people are going to come to a more profound awareness to who the greatness of the Kadosh Baruch Hu is. Because you have a shortened amount of time, you're going to have this big meal, and it's a great opportunity for people to discuss. So Kadosh Baruch Hu set it up in a way that the Korban Todah will be fundamentally different than the Shlamim, because now all of a sudden everybody's around discussing the Korban Todah and what you were saved from. Be it, again, a sickness, going over an ocean, going through a midbar, whatever the various reasons why one would have to bring a Korban Todah. Today we bench Gomel. It's a very similar concept. What happens? A guy gets up and he benches Gomel. So everybody says the same exact thought in their head. I wonder where he just flew on vacation, right? That's the first thing we think when a guy benches Gomel, unless a guy gets up there with crutches, you know, with a broken arm, and then you say, ooh, I wonder what kind of accident the person was in, and then it changes. And then when the person benches Gomel and they got the crutches, you go over to them and say, oh, what happened? And then there's a discussion again about the Hakaras HaTov that the person has to have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc., etc. And this is the world-famous Nitziv on the Korban Todah. And the reason why it's world famous, again, because, you know, this is profound and this is important. It's important to be somebody who's Makir Tov and to have a tremendous amount of gratitude. As a matter of fact, this is a daily message. It's a daily message that happens daily, ironically. What is that? Twice a day, the Chazan gets up and says Modim. And yet, at the same time that the Chazan is saying Modim, we're saying Modim Derabbanan. And everybody asks, by all the other brachas, Shluchu Shlozim Kamoso, the Shliach Tzibor, lead the Tefillah, and he is the one saying the brachas for us. Why does it come to Modim? Do all of a sudden we have to now join in and say our own version of it? And the Abu Drum gives the famous answer. Why do we say Modim Derabbanan? We say Modim Derabbanan because we have an obligation to be Makir Tov ourselves. Modim, which is all about Hakaras HaTov, it's all about gratitude, it's all about recognizing the powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu above us. That's not something that you could do through a shaliach. Right? A thank you is not something that you should say, oh, by the way, please tell that person thank you. No, pick up a phone, call the person, send a text message, you know, this week it was very nice. Somebody asked me a shiloh last week, and I spent some time and I talked about it. I got a note from the mail, a letter. Like, it's such a funny thing. Like, how often does a letter come for you? But it was very touching. I was very moved by it that I got a letter, you know, that they were makir tov. You know, when people are makir tov to you, it's meaningful. And so I took the note, I put it in a drawer, and I'll probably come across it some other time in my life. But you know that the person that did it, it was just a very nice idea. It was very profound to me. So that's in terms of this week's parasha, and in terms of all of the events in our lives that are going to happen. Clearly, Pesach, that's one of the critical themes that are going to be drawn out at the Seder. Reb Chaim Friedlander, in his beautiful work, the Sifsei Chaim, which I think was written by, not by him, but by Carmel, right? No, did he write? I don't even know who wrote it. So it's very interesting. This week in Yeshiva, somebody came to visit me, and it was the Anacle of Abraham Carmel, who wrote over Dassler stuff, Panovich, but it's all in that same tree. But Reb Chaim Friedlander was a Mashkiach of Panovich. He has a number of essays on Pesach. I recommend everybody read this before Pesach, but I'll just give you a little bit of an overview to some of the ideas that he draws out. Pesach, specifically, what the whole tachlis, the whole purpose of the Seder is, and this is really something that you want to inculcate your children with over Pesach. So, the essay is titled Hakaras HaTov, Tanai Lusias Mitzrayim. That's one essay which we're not going to delve into. But the second essay, he says, Hakaras HaTov, Tachlis Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hakaras HaTov, the entire purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Hakaras HaTov. There is a Ba'avur Zeh. Why do we do certain of the mitzvot? It says Ba'avur Zeh, because of this. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, Ba'avur Zeh, therefore we do certain mitzvot. Matzah, Maruch, Harosis, etc., etc. But there's another pshat that says Ba'avur Zeh. It's because of the mitzvot, the Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt. Meaning, the tachlis of him take the purpose, the very purpose of him taking us out of Egypt was for us to be makir tov for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to do those mitzvahs. I mean, the mitzvahs are already there. Tachlis v'arayis v'bra'alma. And the historical events had to happen for us to be makir tov. The entire existence, the raison d'etre. And you see this, if you go through the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's so many different episodes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, we have the dogs. What happens with the dogs? There's a mitzvah that was supposed to give our nevelos and treifos to the dogs. Why? Because as we're leaving Mitzrayim, they refuse to bark. There's a halacha, petachomer, to redeem the firstborn donkey. Right? If you want to say it's funny, look at Diane Dunner's episode on the redeeming of the donkey. So, what is redeeming of the donkey? Why do we redeem the donkeys? Because when we left Egypt, they were laden with all of our stuff. Right, so we have Hakaras HaTov specifically for the Chomer, and the only Tmeya that we have to redeem is the Chomer. You have the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't hit the ground because the ground had saved him. He didn't cause the Makkah of Dam because the river had saved him. And there's Hakaras HaTov even for a Domeim, which clearly shows us that the idea of Hakaras HaTov and gratitude is not for the person you're giving gratitude, but really because you must be somebody who gives Hakaras HaTov. Now, I want to read to you from this line, that what's the whole purpose? Why is it so critical that there's so much Hakaras HaTov? So he quotes here in Mishnah Shir V'Lazer, Perek Zayin, Amad Lamed Gimel. He says, Mibnei ma anish hakasev biyoseh l'kaf l'tov. Why is it that there's such a large punishment for those who are ingrates? Not even a great word, kaf l'tov. Somebody who is a ingrate this word, but how do you kafui tov? Somebody who is a denier of good. He says, because it's as if one denies God. You give me something, a favor, money, a gift, and I don't appreciate it. That person, the Mishnah says, is as if I am denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wow. And then he says, Afakov is Bekadosh Baruch Hu, even one who denies the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kofer Tohu is somebody who denies good. Adam Azehu, Kofer Tovet Shachavar. This person is going to deny his friend. Lamacharu Kofer Tovato Shokono, the one who denies what his friend does for him, is eventually going to deny a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what's the connection between the two? What's the connection between the two? I think the connection is obvious. You see, if I'm an ingrate, what's an ingrate? An ingrate is somebody who does not appreciate that which was done outside of himself. He says, Kochi ve'otzim yadi. It's all my hands. It's all because of me. I don't need anything else. So that begins with another person. But once he goes to that other person, that's Mela, it's naturally going to go to the next thing, which is Huma Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it's outside of himself. Because once he says Kochi ve'otzim yadi, meaning like this, if you come and you do something for me, I don't know, whatever it is, you pour for me a drink. And I don't say thank you. I don't recognize it. So I think I could have poured the drink myself. I didn't need you. It's all about me. It's talking about the other. I could have done it all myself. So similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me all this parnasa. He's given me this beautiful house, this beautiful family, this beautiful whatever it is. So eventually I'm going to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I don't think I needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything. There's a natural progression. The entire tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to be Makir Tov. You see so many different stories within Yetzias Mitzrayim that people were Makir Tov for something else. Moshe Rabbeinu, Amon and Moab, who weren't Makir Tov, they get chucked from the entire community that their genealogy is puzzled. There's so many different episodes of Akharas HaTov because in order for us to reach a level of real Amunah, there has to be Akharas HaTov because they have to be able to see outside of oneself. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see outside of himself. He said, the ground. I have to be Makir Tov. See, it was Korban Todah. Hakaris HaTov. You see it in the story, you see it in the shrine. But this is the point I really wanted to get to. It's the third essay in a row that Friedlander has, and they're all overlapping. You have to like really go through them. He says, Sibri Tzitzis Mitzrayim, Mevi Lakaris HaTov Ula Kabbalas Malchuso. But one who tells the story of Tzitzis Mitzrayim, that brings him to Akaris HaTov. Let me show you this one word here. He says, he asks the question, the Kates of Javo Adam Lideav Hagashis Hakarasas. How could one lead to a place of Hakarasas? So he writes like this. Al Yidei Yidias Kol Prate Hatova Shenasas Ima. Through the very details of all of the good that was done to him. Every line here is critical. We're commanded on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that night. We're commanded not just to give over information. We're commanded to tell a story. Now, a story is something that you kind of lose yourself in. You ever watch, again, Mirza Shemi, you have teenagers who read. And what's amazing is when your teenager is reading, I have to say, my fourth grade, when he reads, he's like in another world. He's left this world and he's gone into his imaginary world of the book. And it's a sipur. Because the sipur you see, it's kind of like you... You're living a different world right there. You're in a different universe. But what's critically right is that you must have tremendous details. The most imagery that a book can give over is when they really go through all of the details. When one goes detail by detail, it's not enough to just say, oh, thank you, God, you know, like there's the old joke, you know, when you try to get young teenagers to bench, sometimes they go rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the, what did I say, what's the line? Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yeah, God, right? Done. No, we have a very particular formula of benching where we single out all of the major events that cause us to be able to get this food. You go through the benching. Everything's very important. It's not enough to be generic in your Akharas HaTov. It's got to be very detail-oriented, just like this good book. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is there to inculcate with a person with Akharas HaTov. And there's no greater point in the entire Haggadah that illustrates this more than Dayenu. Had you done this for us, it would have been enough. Had you done this for us, it would have been enough. Just cut to the end. Right? Just say thank you for this last thing. Why does it have to go? How many dianas are there? Reflection? How many? 15. It's not 15. Isn't it 15? Because if you do every three, it doesn't work out. With the dianas. Really? 15? I remember today, it was a, you sure it wasn't 20? I think it was 20.
I got some short teasers, so.
Okay. It's like, you know, the old question, how many Avinu Malkeinu are there?
Those are some of the questions.
Right. How many Avinu Malkeinu are there?
One.
There's only one, right? That's my answer. There's only one of the Avinu Malkeinu. How many days is that? I told that story a number of years ago during my drasha. I didn't think it would be good laughter, but whatever. Anyway, so every single Dayenu is critical. Why is every single Dayenu critical? Because you have to thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu for each and every event that happened. Because in order to build a Hakaras HaTov, a gratitude to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it can't just be a generic thank you. We left Egypt. That doesn't do anything for anybody. That doesn't build the Hakaras HaTov in a person. Because that's that generic rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yeah, God. A Dayenu is when you go through each and every single element, you know? Like the old, I don't know if you saw it, but some people say it to Seder, but they're like, you know, why do you have to say, thank you for taking us to Sinai? If you wouldn't have given us the Torah, that would have been enough. What would have been enough? It's because you would have taken us to a perfume shop, you know? But you have to look at that video to understand what I'm talking about. But each and every Dayenu should infuse within a person, oh, wow, that's great. It's very, very different than when you say, thanks for everything. Thanks for everything doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. Thanks for giving me the Torah. Thanks for Shabbos. Thanks for, you know, whatever, you know, the winning of the wars, for bringing us to Yom Tov, for splitting the sea, for you go through one by one, and it's Kedai to tell your kids, go through each one, translate it. You have to stay now and think about it. Put yourself in that story. The Makos, we highlight all 10 Makos. We don't say God did bad things to Egypt, to the Egyptians. Each and every one is critical to understand as to what happened. And this is what Rafi Len is pointing out. The idea is called Prate HaTova Shena'ases Imo. And therefore, that's why we were commanded in Tzipri Yitzchayim to develop within us Hakar Satov, which is the entire reason the etra of us leaving Egypt was for Hakar Satov, was to inculcate within us this feeling of Emunah. But we have to do it. How? By expressing it as if we left Mitzrayim. And that's clearly the mitzvah of the night. There's a story in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us, Amalei Rav Nachman L'Daru Avdei. Rav Nachman says to Daru, his slave, he says, Avdei D'mafik Le'mara L'Cheres. An Eved that was taken out to freedom, V'yoyv Le'Kaspe V'Zav, and he was given silver and gold. Mai Baile Me'Malei, what should he say? Amalei Baile Odei L'Shulcha. He has to stop and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh! Then he says, now he's in the mood, now he's ready to go. Meaning, what did he do? He engendered within himself this idea of what it was like to be a slave, and now he's free. Because he's put into himself a karsa tov. Because when you are makir tov for everything, that's the first start of appreciation. It's ironic. It's not because I appreciate a makir tov. It's that when I'm makir tov, I begin to appreciate. It's like everything Rav Dessler says. It's the same tree. It's the same line. You know Rav Dessler's famous story about giving? You don't give because you love. You love because you give. I appreciate because I express gratitude. And not in a generic way, but in a very, very specific way. Rabbi Yerucham from Mir, he says, the entire Haggadah is based on Arami Avid Avi. That loving tried to destroy us. Right? The entire idea of Bikurim is one of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Friend, I just remember this now, Rabbi Friend says, right? In the beginning of Bereishis, Bereishis. What is Bereishis? Bishvil Reishis Nivra Olam. What are the three things that Bishvil Reishis? So one is, they're all different. It's not Rashi. Some people call it Rashi. It's a Medrash. But the Medrash says, Bishvil Araisa, Shenik Arishon, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenik Arishon, and Bishvil Bikurim, Shenik Arishon. Bishvil Bikurim that's brought first? The whole reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world is because of Bikurim? Yes. Because the idea in this world is to be a Makir Tov, to recognize that there are things outside of yourself. Thus is what Hakaras HaTov is all about. So a great story tonight on Twitter from an old Talmud, Josh Greyjauer. So Josh Greyjauer tweeted a letter from, I don't remember the name of the sports guy. But anyway, it was a letter. What was the letter? Dean Smith, Olav HaShalom, right? Halahavdil. He just passed away. He was the coach from North Carolina when I was a kid. I'm going to say, this is a guess, from the early 60s to 1991 or 2, right? I only know that because I stopped following around then, and I know that 93, I think Roy Williams was the coach, or whatever it was, anyway.
He hasn't coached past Jordan.
Yeah, so Jordan was 84, but I'm saying like at least till 91, 92. Okay, you can look it up. Anyway, so what did he do in his will? A remarkable thing. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. He left $200 for every single one of his players, with a note, have a night out on me. You know, because he was makir tov. Why? Then my thought is, because the coach is only as good as his players. Right? If he would have had Jordan, you know, how good of a coach are you? You know, I could be a good coach with Michael Jordan. But then, of course, that asks these questions. Does Michael Jordan really need $200? Like, he's just worth $1 billion. But whatever, it's not the point. The point isn't the $200. The point is that before he died, he paused and reflected on his entire life, and he says, who do I have to be makir tov? And he left $200 for every single one of his players. Not just the Michael Jordans, but also the Stutz, you know, whatever it is. the Phil Fords or whatever, whoever they were, King Wrights.
Guys who really need $200.
Right, who probably had to sell their rings from the Final Four from sitting on the bench to go. But he was Makertov. There would be no Shear without quoting Gottman. So Gottman has this, it was a great book, The Seven Principles of Making Marriage. Works for Mr. Mark. He sent me this. Something called, you know, fanning the flames, right? So sometimes when you get upset at people, you forget what caused you to like the person in the first place. So he does a little exercise. A little exercise. And again, this is an app only on the iPhones for some reason. When I Googled it, it's an app for the iPhone. It's called the Appreciation App. He says, circle three items that you're characteristic of your partner, and he's got 72 different things here. If you're having difficulty coming up with three, feel free to say another one. So what Gottman recommends now is sending your spouse 28 consecutive days, something that you appreciate about them. And they have shown that that has increased marital happiness a tremendous amount. 28 consecutive days. But what's the shot? You can't just say, you found the app? You have an iPhone. I'm not so kosher, right? Anyway, so, but it can't be a generic thank you. It's got to be about something specific. It's got to match the dayenu of our Seder, the same idea. There was, in order to increase the Hakaras HaTov that one has for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, by singling out specifics, so too, there has to be a singling out of specifics of compliments towards the spouse. That's what Gottman suggests. And he has a list. So Gottman's 28 consecutive days, and the statistics or whatever it is, the surveys have shown that this has increased marital happiness. And as he has, another time, also appreciation is a great way of ending what he calls gridlock. If a couple's in a fight and they can't go to where he says, okay, now stop with this fight, find something else that you appreciate about the other person. Share something else that I had this conversation. I had a conversation with, I had a conversation, when it comes to chinuch, it's very similar. I had a conversation with a parent. I was at a wedding, and the parent came over to me, and they told me they're having trouble with their kid. The kid is always angry. So he wanted to know, how could it be that he could help his kid, you know, get him out of this rut and make him into something more improved? Said, you know, you're always looking to catch your kid doing something wrong. You know, like, ooh, this guy. I said, try the opposite. So try catching your kid doing something right and then call him out on it and be makir tov. I don't know, whatever it is. Everybody does something right twice a day. I mean, for some people it's harder than others, you know. But figure that out and compliment him on that particular idea. People need the confidence that they're doing something right. And sometimes with our own children, we're always looking to see what did they do wrong, but it's possible to find that they're doing something correct. And it's not good enough to just say great job, because nobody cares about that. That's meaningless to say to somebody great job. It's got to be, I like the way you made your bed this morning. Oh, I like the way you were considerate of your mother and you said thank you. So you have to show this fondness of an admiration for somebody else, and that's a great way of increasing your child's productivity. It's very interesting. It's very ironic, and I think that Pesach and marriage mirror each other. Baharaya, we read Shir Hashir on Pesach, our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So, I don't know. Like every day, I always do this. It's a great exercise. I Google what I'm looking for. When I have an idea, I just Google it, and traditionally there's always something. If it's correct, there will be stuff online about it. So he writes, I don't even know who this is. There's a relationship expert, Harriet Lerner. I don't know what makes her an expert. She wrote Psychology Today, the following. We're dating. We're often very detailed in our observations of our partner, right? You're making diukim, you know, when you're dating in the shidduch world. This, that, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So therefore, we want to be very specific in our appreciation of the person's appearance or deeds. But as we get used to the relationship, we forget specific praise. We take for granted a little bit. So it's very important to go back to the old ways. The Seder, we spoke about this last week, idea a little bit, about the idea of the schachet. As you get towards the end of the year, sometimes things get old. Pesach's the time with the beginning of the year. It's like a new relationship. We reach Shir Hashirim. It's a lover's relationship, us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we once again try to find all the beautiful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us in our lives. in our marriages as well. Sometimes as long as you get married, you take for granted, and you kind of think that the givens don't need to be said. But the more the givens are said, the more healthy the relationships are. With your own children, the givens sometimes often don't get said. But you have to continually say them, because the whole tachlis, the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Hakaras HaTov, because Hakaras HaTov makes us appreciate, the gratitude makes us appreciate the other, whether it's the child, whether it's our spouse, or whether it's Hakaras Baruch Hu.
I can confirm
with
Wikipedia that
15
standards
remain. What's that?
I can confirm with
Wikipedia. Oh, 15 standards? Okay.
But here's something